Welcome to Onc Live On Air. I'm your host today, Caroline Seymour. Onc Live On Air is a podcast from Onc Live, which provides oncology professionals with the resources and information they need to provide the best patient care. In both digital and print formats, Onc Live covers every angle of oncology practice, from new technology to treatment advances to important regulatory decisions. In today's episode, we had the pleasure of speaking with Stephen Gottschalk, MD, and Deirdre Crenshut, PhD, of St. Jude Children's Research Hospital on the development of CAR T-cell therapy in pediatric patients with solid tumors. Gottschalk is a member of the St. Jude faculty, chair of the Department of Bone Marrow Transplantation and Cellular Therapy, and endowed chair in Bone Marrow Transplantation and Cellular Therapy. Crenshut is an assistant member of the St. Jude faculty in the Department of Bone Marrow Transplant, Comprehensive Cancer Center, and St. Jude Graduate School of Biomedical Sciences in New York, New York. In our exclusive interview, Drs. Gottschalk and Crenshut discuss the difficulties of translating successes with CAR T-cell therapy in adults to the pediatric population, ongoing research with investigational products that could reduce T-cell exhaustion, burnout, and the time from bench to bedside, and expectations for the future of cellular therapy in oncology. Thank you so much to Drs. Gottschalk and Crenshut from St. Jude for talking to us on an episode of Onc Live On Air today on delivering on the promise of CAR T-cell therapy for children, a topic that we typically don't cover. So I'm very excited to have you both with us today. How are you both doing?
Great.
Doing well. Thank you for having us.
Of course, anytime. All right. So before we get into kind of some of the difficulties of translating CAR T-cell therapy into the solid tumor pediatric population, I did want to highlight some of the successes. So can you both tell me about what successes we've seen with CAR T in the pediatric population?
CAR T-cell therapies were developed at the beginning of the century. And then from the beginning, also investigators did studies in the pediatric oncology space. And then actually almost at the same time where we saw very good activity of CD19 CAR T-cells in adults, we also saw them in pediatric patients with leukemia. And, you know, in fact, the first FDA-approved CAR T-cell therapy product was for a pediatric indication for a recurrent relapse patient with acute lymphoblastic leukemia. And, you know, and that kind of generated, of course, on the pediatric as also adults, a lot of, I think, excitement, you know, because it first of all showed that, yes, these therapies can be efficacious. And then, you know, we kind of really hoped for also, quote unquote, easy wins in the solid tumor and brain tumor space. But that, unfortunately, did not occur. And probably, you know, Deirdre could comment on some of the, you know, challenges which we've kind of experienced and what we are now kind of, you know, trying to overcome.
That's a great point, Stephen. And, you know, so the challenges, and I'm just going to dive in into the challenges, you know, at the beginning, challenges that we couldn't have a system that can realistically recapitulate pediatric diseases. So, you know, multiple scientists throughout multiple institutions worked really hard to establish one disease models that we can use in this. And then for us also, you know, in the lab, we studied everything in a human setting and human T cells and then mouse models. So it's really not really matching. So we really needed to get to that next step where we have matching immune system and matching tumor models. So mouse T cells and mouse models. And I think now that's where we headed. And I think, you know, understanding different targets and also what's important is microenvironment and how that plays in pediatric disease setting is very important. And I think that's going to be the big next step for us to learn and understand that and hopefully influence the future of these trials in a positive way.
So I wanted to elaborate a little bit more on some of the targets that are being explored there.
To me, there are like two targets. You know, one of the targets which are expressed on cancer cells, and then, you know, there's the targets, I think, within T cells, which we aim to modulate to improve the function. You know, as we kind of think, why do CD19 CAR T cell therapy work so well in contrast to solid tumors? One is clearly the target. You know, CD19 is expressed in extremely high level, very homogeneously on all tumor cells. Whereas if you look in the solid tumor, adult or pediatric, you know, there is no such target. You know, targets are expressed at much lower level and expression is heterogeneous. So one cell might express higher level and the other is lower level. And then There is this concern of what we call on-target of cancer toxicity, where the targets are expressed on normal cells. And if you then target them, it can be detrimental. I want to point out before passing out to Ghidra that actually CD19 is expressed on normal cells. You will destroy all B cells, but fortunately, we can give immune globulin. So, CD19 CAR T cells destroys normal cells. However, there is a great remedy, which we probably do not have on the solid tumor side, where, for example, if an antigen is expressed a little bit on the liver, we cannot kind of destroy liver of a patient, without giving him a liver transplant, afterwards, which of course is not possible.
So I can maybe just elaborate a little bit more on the targets for pediatric brain tumors, because that's where my expertise is. When we started our group here at St. Jude, we didn't really know what's the best target for pediatric brain tumors. We knew that there was multiple targets for adult, but we couldn't just say like, that's going to be the same. We really did a very simple study in collaboration with our brain tumor experts here at St. Jude. And so we just basically took the best or well-characterized five targets. That is B7-HC, GD2, EPHA2, IL-13 receptor alpha 2, and HER2. Those are well-known targets in solid arena and brain tumor arena. So we took that and just really focused on pediatric brain tumors and looked at their expression on pediatric brain tumor cell lines. And we found that B7-HC, as well as GD2, were two antigens that are homogeneously and highly expressed. We were not the first ones to find that. Also, groups were already looking at these targets. It's just coincidentally, those were, we just kind of confirmed. And now we see multiple clinical trials coming out targeting GD2 or B7-HC. And we also looking into targeting B7-HC for pediatric brain tumors. I see them as a very and highly promising good targets, not maybe a similar CD19, but I think it's a good start for us, but definitely efforts of finding better targets and more targets so we can study and understand them, how to target everything better, are needed. And that's also where we headed from the research perspective. We also putting a lot of efforts to understand why good targets are still not working that great, but also we're looking at the better ones. And again, as Steve mentioned, it's not only targeting targets on the tumors, but also targeting something else where we can improve CAR T cells as well.
Now, of course, finding the target is one thing, but as we know in hematologic cancers, we're seeing T cell exhaustion and burnout. So how is research maybe thinking about this in developing trials in pediatric solid tumors?
I think in general, developing clinical studies within the pediatric space, not only oncology, is a little bit more complicated from a regulatory perspective than for adults. And that is rightly so, because, we are dealing with minors. However, there is still a tremendous need to conduct studies within the, pediatric cancer space. And, everyone in the field strongly believes that we must be able to conduct study at least in parallel with adult cancer study. It cannot be that first we test, let's say, a drug in the adult space, and then once we have safety data and so on, move it to pediatrics, because that will cause tremendous delay. And since adult and pediatric cancers are very different from their etiology, there might be a scenario where a molecule is safe but doesn't work in adults, but it might be very effective in children. So, we really have to develop, the right framework that we can test within children, these promising therapies, in a safe way. And, I strongly believe that that can be, accomplished. In fact, has been done. If you look back over the last almost 15 or 16 years in which CAR T-cell therapy studies have been done within the pediatric space, I think the overall safety record of these therapies, has been very, very encouraging.
And I guess I can comment a little bit on the exhaustion. Exhaustion is something that is a big problem in a CAR T cell field. The beauty of the CAR T cells is that we can load CAR T cells with different things and make them hopefully persist better. So there's multiple ways to address that. And multiple labs that are focusing on CAR T cell field are looking for ways to make it better. Usually that's done either by overexpressing additional gene, which is highly synthetic, so either a chimeric, another chimeric molecule, or knocking out what we call negative T cell regulators or the brakes for the T cells, and those approaches seem to be working. The only thing that we don't have just yet, the clinical testing these approaches in the clinical setting. And the question would be, which one would work the best? And there's again, whole array of different molecules that we tested here in our group, starting from overexpressing different proliferative cytokines, different chimeric molecules, or knocking down genes or big regulators such as epigenetic regulators, and so on, or transcription factors. And again, it shows great promise. And I think it's beautiful to see how we can load T cells with all these things. The only thing that we, I think, seeing the challenge is how to quickly move that to clinical trial. That's yet to be determined.
So before we go any further into that research, I did want to talk about the logistical challenges of CAR T cell therapy. You know, you mentioned the difficulties of antigen expression in the pediatric population, pediatric solid tumor population. So why CAR T cell therapy? Why not go after antibody drug conjugates or other immunotherapies?
That's a great question. And for example, checkpoint blockade has been explored in pediatric solid tumors in at least five large studies. And unfortunately, it has been not very successful. So, for example, for pediatric sarcomas, and probably altogether 100 patients who were enrolled on these studies, there was not, I think, not a single complete response. And, you know, the question is, of course, why is checkpoint blockade not working? But again, it highlights a point we've made already that pediatric and adult cancers are different. Then, of course, there are cancer vaccines. And as you know, cancer vaccines have been overall, I would say, not very effective also on the adult side. Although, you know, with the renaissance of, you know, all the success of RNA vaccines for infectious agents, you know, there is now also a tremendous kind of impetus to explore RNA vaccine for adult cancers. And I'm sure that they will also be explored for pediatric cancer. You know, the genetic engineering approach, if you think about it, really allows you to generate cells which don't exist in nature. You know, therefore, some people now call it synthetic T cell therapy. So we can, in the end, engineer the immune system to attack and destroy cancer cells. And that really cannot be done with antibodies, vaccines, et cetera, where we can, in the end, only boost the immune system we are all endowed with. So I think that is, I would say, the big conceptual advantage of these type of therapies. And, you know, in the long run, could you actually develop, let's say, in vivo gene delivery approaches, you know, that we're not, for example, have to take cells, put a CAR in, give them back? Could we, you know, have a viral vector to modify T cells within the human body to express CARs? You know, clearly that research has begun and, you know, it's not ready for prime time, but, you know, these approaches are being explored and then would take away a lot of the, you know, logistic or infrastructure requirement of making autologous cell products for these patients.
So then moving into this new approach that's under study at St. Jude for developing CAR T for pediatric cancers, we touched on a little bit of these elements, but tell me more about the rationale, the methods that are being used, the involvement of other centers, and the potential improvement in the time from bench to bedside.
You know, if you look at the history of cancer therapeutics, a single agent will probably not do the trick. And I think also, you know, Gideon and I, we are in the engineering business. You know, you don't want to over-engineer. So, you know, if you look at regular combinatorial therapies, really have been the stone of success for conventional chemotherapies. And really in the CAR field, that is just kind of in its infancy, I would say. And I wonder if Gideon can kind of comment on that.
The eye-opening effect was then, you know, was our studies when we had everything in the murine setting, where we can really address all the immunosuppressive effects. And then we realized that, you know, sometimes when we make a better CAR, we see that maybe immune system doesn't like that. It just starts shutting down, and we see like a CAR that works really well in a dish. When we put in an animal model with intact immune system, it seems like it's not functioning at all. So that's what we would start thinking. As Steve said, maybe we're over-engineering, but we still don't know. So really, we need to understand a little bit more, and then also help make this a better informed decision of what's next. And also, again, as Steve mentioned, as in any kind of therapeutics, it doesn't seem like, you know, one drug, one treatment option might not work. So we will need to think about combinations. And I think with the single cell RNA-seq, I think we're allowing for us to gain an amazing amount of knowledge of what's happening in the tumor microenvironment. So I think we have to kind of step back, evaluate what's happening with the drugs, evaluate what's happening with the CAR T cells and other treatment modalities, and then see like what is the best way that's working, because I think that is what's lacking. And again, I think a single cell RNA-seq is helping us to do so. So we are thinking about, you know, what would be combination therapy? How can we make tumor microenvironment synergize with CAR T cell effect? What would that be? You know, what kind of drug can, you know, somewhat maybe activate tumor microenvironment to the level where it will be helpful for CAR T cells? So I'm really a fan of this concept and really looking in my own lab to understanding how would that work. And also, you know, logistically, it feels like if you have a combination, a drug that's already approved, let's say, and CARs that's already being in the study, we put them together and that would be maybe faster approach where, you know, when we engineer something else, it's great. T cells are amazing because we can like make this like T cell in a way we want, which is like use our knowledge, right? But it will take some time to design everything, to go through all the safety profiling before we can put that into early clinical studies. So that's why I'm a little bit biased, because I want to do that research, but I do think that maybe combination therapy would be a way to go. I don't know, Steve, what do you think?
So majority of academic cell therapy studies are single center studies. And the reason for that is really some of the regulatory burden or the oversight burden is doing from the beginning multi-center studies. You know, each investigator-initiated study, you know, it has associated with the investigator new drug filing with the FDA. And the lead institution is responsible, you know, is a sponsor, and then, for example, has to perform audits at multiple sites. That's very expensive. So in general, you know, across the board, there are only a few examples where from a beginning, a new cell therapy product was tested at multi-center sites. I think the group of cell therapy investigators nationally and internationally have really realized that that is a bottleneck. And I think the field is working on it. And for example, creating networks where, you know, the institution, quote unquote, know each other very well. And there is then a regulatory framework, how you can then at least do, you know, early phase clinical studies much more expeditiously. And then of course there is this beyond, you know, what happens if you have a single in a phase one study, how do you then push it forward? And there you probably need biotech support, because then, you know, it gets very, very expensive. And, you know, most institution, academic institution, you know, do not have the resources, first of all, but also do not have the regulatory know-how to, for instance, set up a licensing study, you know, for a new drug. And again, that is an issue which, at least for pediatric cancer, does not only pertain to cell therapy, you know, it pertains to every new drug that is being developed. And, you know, again, I think there are, you know, at least in the cell therapy space, discussion in progress, how can we facilitate later phase clinical study to really then move the exciting discovery so that really all patients who would potentially benefit from this approach can actually also receive the therapy.
So then with all this said and done, are there any specific ongoing or planned efforts in this area at St. Jude that you'd like to highlight? And if not, we could summarize by discussing your expectations for the future.
So, you know, we have efforts in three areas. You know, one is, you know, solid tumors and brain tumors. As Ghidra mentioned, right now we are focusing, or we have active clinical studies targeting B7H3. And on the solid tumor study is ongoing, and our brain tumor study will hopefully start to enroll patients. And, you know, right now we are actually discussing internally what would be the follow-up study. You know, for example, should we knock out the negative regulators in T cells, or should we express an additional molecule to enhance the function? Another disease group we are very interested in is acute myeloid leukemia. You know, in contrast to ALL, where CD19 CAR T cells were very successful, right now there is no CAR T cell therapy approach for AML, which is effective. And we're conducting an early phase clinical study in the space to get initial safety data, and then hopefully we can build on that. Lastly, I want to comment on the CD19 space because, while it's FDA approved, there are still a lot of issues. Only 50%, of patients are long-term cured after CD19 CAR T-cell therapies, and some of these patients are only cured if they actually receive a bone marrow transplant after CD19 CAR T-cells. We spent a lot of time, and Giedra was a major player in this effort, to really analyze samples from our first CD19 CAR T-cell therapy studies and then explore in the laboratory what are kind of limiting, factors. And together with two investigators in the immunology department, Ben Youngblood and Caitlin Zebley, we identified a negative regulator called DMT3A, and we're actually right now planning a clinical study where we will actually knock out that gene in CD19 CAR T cells and then look, can we get better T cell persistence after, the patients have received a CR so that we in the end can spare these patients from going to a bone marrow transplant. Bone marrow transplants are curative, but that is my specialty. Children and also adults have to suffer, and can have a lot of complications. So it's not a low-risk procedure. And therefore, I think in the CD19 CAR space, there is still also, I think, a lot of room for improvement, so to speak.
What we have here, I see it as like three big programs. One, continue to explore and improve CAR T cells by themselves. So again, looking at the ways to make them persist longer, be a better killers, be a better travelers to the tumor sites and stuff like that. So that's again coming from engineering T cell and making it better. The next thing is understanding microenvironment. So what happens when you put T cell into the body, and what exactly happening with other immune cells? What are the endogenous immune system is doing, what the endogenous T cells are doing, macrophages, microglia from the brain tumor perspective, and so on, and really if they're shutting down the effect of CAR T cells. And then the last one, what we like to call, is reverse translation. So now that we have multiple studies going, we try to collect that data, understand that data, test some of the hypotheses that we get from the data in the lab, and send back to the clinic, or to send back to the clinic a next improvement or better approaches. So again, so basically engineering CAR T cells, making them better, understanding tumor microenvironment, and reverse translation. That's what we're focusing in the research labs.
Thank you both so much for your time. It's been a pleasure speaking with you about this topic.
Thank you so much for having us here.
Thank you for reaching out to us and giving us the opportunity to talk about our research.
That's all we have for today. Thank you for listening to this episode of OncLive On Air. Check back on Mondays and Thursdays for exclusive interviews with leading experts in the oncology field. For more updates in oncology, be sure to visit www.onclive.com and sign up for our e-newsletters. OncLive is also on social media. On Twitter, follow us at OncLive and OncLiveSOSS. On Facebook, like us at OncLive and OncLive State of the Science Summit, and follow our OncLive page on LinkedIn. If you liked today's episode of OncLive On Air, please consider subscribing to our podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, Amazon Music, and many of your other favorite podcast platforms so you get a notification every time a new episode is posted. While you are there, please take a moment to rate us. Thanks again for listening to OncLive On Air.